All the time. Thank you, Brother Joel.
All the time.
Praise the Lord. If you can't have fun, why even come? Come on. I love Jesus so much.
Amen.
I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you love Jesus too. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which, by the way, we didn't have our boys come for Save Our Children this morning. I've heard that they're either very close or at their goal, each of them. Do you know if they're very close or at their goal? Praise the Lord. Very close. So if they don't, whatever. If you got to Save Our Children, see one of our young boys before you leave today. We'll be totaling up our Save Our Children offering this week. Praise the Lord. I believe both of our fellas, James and Hayden, they're going to make their $1,000 goal and be a top dog. Amen. Whatever. And those special. Yeah. And thank you to our church for helping them achieve that place. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning to read there, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you ye have received, and wherein ye stand. I am so glad that people are standing in the belief of Jesus Christ. Amen. Some more than 2,000 years ago. Amen. And we are still believing in Jesus Christ, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that it was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith also vain. I tell you, this event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is, in my view, and I believe should be your view as well, the most important event in all of the history of mankind. Amen. It is for the salvation of the world. Amen. I want to talk on this subject today. It's not a surprise, I suppose. The reason he rose. The reason he rose. Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask even now that, Lord, the reason that you rose, Lord, that we would see it, Lord, that we would comprehend it, that we would understand it, Lord, that even as we go into scriptures and as we, Lord, consider this thought, Lord, I pray you would touch our hearts, touch our minds, open, Lord, I pray, our understanding. Lord, help us to walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for your favor. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is so good all the time. And yet our world is looking in so many places. They're looking in vast variety of places for reason, for hope, for a solution, for direction in their life. Amen. There is a magazine article now some years ago. It offered some would say a cool prize. Some would say a cold prize. So cold it was -350 degrees below zero. You'll see. To celebrate this company's new revamped look, they offered a cryogenic treatment to a lucky winner. Of course, in order to get this prize, you had to die first. Everybody's going to die. Amen. It's pretty sure, we that are alive and remaining, I guess Jesus take us out of here while we're living. But except that event, when we're born, it's pretty sure we're going to die. This company offered in this magazine to let one lucky person be shipped to the Cryonetics Institute in Michigan, where they would be laid to rest in a vat of liquid nitrogen. 350 degrees below zero, with the hope that future technologies, that some future date, maybe far off into the unknown, they'll be able to bring you back to life. That's a pretty dim hope. I don't want to put my hope in that. Amen. I don't want to put my hope in this or any other man-made idea. Amen. Even there's a famous person. His name was Ted Williams. He died 20-something years ago. He was a good baseball player. He had a season hitting over 400. That's pretty good for baseball. A fight broke out between his oldest daughter and his youngest son after his death. One of the daughters wanted him to be cremated and his ashes strewn over the coast of Florida. But his son and the other daughter that he had signed a paper saying that they would freeze their bodies with the hope that they could be together again someday. Some people will go far beyond the norm in hope of being raised again. If we will just read the word, I have a hope of being raised again. I have a hope of living forever. Amen. Like Sister Jerry said, read the back of the book. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We do have a hope. Praise the Lord. I have hope. You, I trust, have hope of everlasting life, of being with Jesus. Amen. You see, Jesus made provisions for this, but it had nothing to do with nitrogen. It had nothing to do with a man-made solution. Matthew chapter 27, let me go there and read, beginning at verse number 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came unto, or came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver, which he was, or said when he, excuse me, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, make it sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. They were guarding the tomb of Jesus Christ. Amen. They remembered what he had said when he was yet alive, that in 3 days, I'm going to rise again. So they were wanting to make sure that the disciples didn't come and steal his body and tell a lie. I tell you what, Jesus always keeps his word. Amen. And the disciples were telling the truth. Praise the Lord. You see, Jesus, they were the authorities, the religious people, even some in the government were so afraid of Jesus. They were afraid that he was a threat to their religious order of the day. They were a threat to their normality in religious society. And even a threat to the government, because some called him King of Kings. They took it so seriously that they took heavy duty precautions in order to resist what Jesus said. People in our world are still resisting what Jesus said. Amen. One of the precaution number one that they took was the trials with an S. There were several. Jesus endured many unfair legal ordeals, both Jewish and Roman. Before Annas, the high priest, in John chapter 18, before Caiaphas in Matthew 26, before the Sanhedrin in Matthew 27, before Herod in Luke 23, and before Pilate in Luke 23. The trials was a precaution. Precaution number two, they did crucify him. You see, Alexander the Great introduced crucifixion in Egypt. The Romans learned it and they perfected it. Cicero called it the most cruel and hideous of tortures. Will Durant said, even the Romans pitied the victims. Jewish historian Josephus said, it was the most wretched of deaths. They really died of suffocation. They were so exhausted and they couldn't breathe, they'd die. So much in pain, it was a torturous death. You see, even before they put Jesus on the cross, they scourged him. They tortured him. They taunted him. To the very point of physical exhaustion on the cross. After he had stopped breathing, he had already given up the ghost. He was already dead. Just to make sure this guy's dead, they pierced his side with a spear, from out which came water and blood. It is absolutely documented for sure that Jesus was dead before he came down from the cross. His flesh had departed. I mean, his flesh and his spirit had ended. He was, in his physical state, dead. That was precaution number two. They killed him. Some thought that was the end. Amen. But not yet. Precaution number three. They buried him. In accordance with Jewish custom, the body was wrapped in about, I've read, about 100 pounds of spices and linen, which formed a gummy substance that they would wrap him in. Grave clothes, if you will. Then they placed him into a large tomb cut out of solid rock. Then a large stone was placed in front of the door of that tomb. One historian accounted, this historian noted the stone was so large that 20 men could not have rolled it away. Engineers have concluded that a stone that would cover a 5-foot doorway would have to be at least 1.5 or 2 tons in weight to cover that size of a doorway. That was precaution number three. Precaution number four. They set a guard. They appointed soldiers to stand at that tomb day and night for 3 days. A Roman, quote-unquote, guard consisted of 16 men, a security detail of 16 soldiers. 4 men were placed immediately in front of that which was to be guarded, the tomb, the door, the stone. 4 soldiers standing before that place. Then the other 12 would sleep on the ground in a semicircle with their heads pointing inward. And they rotated in shifts of 4 around the clock. 4 men now, 4 men later, 4 men after that, and so on. But there were always at least 4 soldiers standing guard at the tomb. The historian Paul Manier, he said it would have been virtually impossible for thieves to get to the tomb, let alone open it. That was precaution number 4. Precaution number 5, they sealed the tomb. A cord, a rope, was stretched across the stone and fastened at the stone, at the wall, with sealing clay. And in that clay, they placed the stamp of an official signet representing the authority of the Roman government. They sealed it, stamped it, and guarded it. You see, great fear was placed in the Roman soldiers because it was their charge, their command. They were directed to keep it, guard it, to be safe. If that seal got broken, those soldiers would pay for that failure with their lives. I've read that failure could result in them themselves being crucified upside down. A very serious offense. Yet, in spite of all of these precautions, Mary Magdalene, when she arrived at the tomb, she found it empty on the 3rd day in the morning. Amen. We're celebrating that day right now. If you want to think of it was a fictional myth that people made it up, you must first deal with the amazing. If you'll just carefully consider the facts in the matter. The Jews and the Romans unwittingly, they didn't try to, but they did, they set the stage to launch the New Testament church. Their precautions only served to be the proof of His resurrection. Amen. Listen to some of these historical facts. The Roman seal was broken. Here in the United States, that would make it a federal offense. The stone was rolled away. Historical accounts said that it was not just rolled right to the side, but it was rolled slightly away and uphill away from the tomb. Not just the door. It's a fact, the tomb was empty. It was too notorious to be denied. Amen. It's a well-recorded fact. The Roman guard went AWOL. Roman military discipline was so strict. They were sharp. If a soldier failed in his duty, they were punished severely. Sometimes even stripped of their clothes, perhaps even burned to death. If it was not apparent which soldier failed in his duty, lots were cast to decide who would die for the unit. Another fact, the grave clothes were empty and perfectly in place. The only thing missing from the tomb was Jesus. And there were hundreds of witnesses. Praise the Lord. If you had eyewitness, I've got a eyewitness. Oh, I've got two. I've got three eyewitnesses. Jesus was seen, we read it, of above 500 people at one time. In one place. And He was seen many other places by many more people. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4. And that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of the apostles. Verse 8, and last of all, He was seen of me also. You see, on this Resurrection Sunday morning, we are celebrating this specific resurrection event. Amen. Jesus did not stay in the grave. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The resurrection of Jesus is the foundational stone of our faith, of our belief, of Christianity. Without the resurrection of Jesus, our message is false and powerless. But I tell you, it is true. It is true. It is true. Jesus is risen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here the intellectuals. Professor Thomas Arnold, chairman of the modern history at Oxford University. I know of no one fact in the history of mankind which proved by the better and fuller evidence of every sort than the great sign which God has given us that Christ dies and rose again from the dead. Praise the Lord. well evidenced. Brooke Foss Westcott, an English scholar and textual critic. It is not too much to say that there is no historic incident better supported than the resurrection of Christ. The most documented event in all of our history.
That's right.
Amen. Paul L. Myler, professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University. No shred of evidence has yet been discovered in literary or archaeology that could disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lots of people have tried. Lord Chalicote, Chief Justice of England. As a matter of strict evidence, the resurrection is a fact beyond dispute. Dr. Simon Greenleaf, Royal Professor at Law at Harvard University, said this: "There is more evidence for the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ than for just about any other event in history." The annals of That was Dr. Greenleaf. Professor Greenleaf used to lecture on how to break down the testimony of a witness to find who's lying. You know, how to ask them questions to get them to admit they're lying. You see, the annals of military warfare, this is something that Professor Greenleaf said, the annals of military warfare accord scarcely an example of such heroic consistency. The unflinching courage. It was impossible that the disciples could have persisted in affirming these truths had not Jesus actually risen from the dead. They had known that fact as certainly as they had known any other fact. All these witnesses agreeing, "I saw him alive. Jesus is risen." Praise the Lord. Hear me. Listen. Know this resurrection Sunday morning. The Jews and the Romans made a terrific miscalculation when they went to such trouble to keep him in the tomb. They ended up verifying the resurrection itself. They ended up being the proof of his resurrection. The devil messed up too. Of course, the devil's messed up. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Verse 8, "which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Amen. Verse 9, "but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Amen. There is a great preparation that has taken place. Amen. You see, the resurrection was not for his benefit. It wasn't for the benefit of Jesus. His resurrection was for our benefit. Amen. It was for the benefit of mankind that he rose again. He's alive. He's alive. Oh, yes, Jesus is alive. Amen. Too many in our society, in our world, are acting like he's still in the tomb, that he didn't rise. He did.
Yes, he did.
Jesus is alive. Amen. Jesus is alive right here today. Amen. I can offer you more by the authority of the Word of God than all of mankind can offer you out there in the world. Don't put your trust in being freeze-dried and hope you're going to be thawed out one day. That's a real bad idea. Amen. But you can trust in Jesus Christ. You can trust in the Lord our God. Amen. Jesus is alive. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. Praise the Lord. The church is not depending on some wild-eyed hope of future science. That's not my hope. We are trusting and waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are going to be risen with Him. We are going to have eternity to spend with Jesus. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Let me begin there. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm putting my trust right here. I'm putting my trust in Jesus Christ and what the Word of God tells me is true. Amen. Verse 17, then we, which are alive and remain. You ever think about this? Ever slow it down just a little bit? You know, I've got my grandmother and my mom and my elders that have went on, my former pastor that I grew up with and pastor that I lived as an early adult. There are people that I love that have went on to be with the Lord. You know, I think of my sister, my loved ones. And when this event happens, I believe I'm going to recognize them going up. I'll already be changed in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, faster than I can blink. I'll be changed. I'm going to see them going up. I'm going to know what's happening. And then my feet are going to leave this ground. Amen. And I'm going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. Because of this event. Whew. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm telling you, the Word of God is true. Amen. The world can be a scary place, but the Word of God gives me hope. Praise the Lord. If these words scare you, they shouldn't. I hope they don't. I hope you're not scared of what the Bible says. The Bible should give us confidence. It should give us great excitement. And I'm looking forward to that day. It might be today. Amen. It might be tomorrow. Well, all right. It might be the next day. In fact, I really don't know what day it's going to be. But I do know the Word of God says it's going to take place. Praise the Lord. Take comfort. Comfort one another with these words. We don't need to be nervous about what the future holds. I know who holds the future. I know that my life is in Jesus Christ. And no matter what happens, no matter what comes, no matter where I go, no matter what goes on. Oh, but the stock market is going down. You know what? I don't want to say it flippantly, but my life is not dictated by the stock market. Amen. My God is going to take care of me. Amen. And my God wants to take care of you. Amen. If you'll just let Him. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Sure, this flesh is going to die. Some of us live a short time and some of us live a long time. But every one of us has got an appointment with our Maker. Amen. Every one of us at some point, we're going to be accountable to God. Amen. You die once, but get this, you can be born twice. Praise the Lord. It's already appointed. Death and judgment are at the hand of God. I would not want to stand before Jesus without taking part in His preparations for our salvation. Amen. He made provision that we could be saved. He made it, this event of the resurrection made it possible that we can be saved. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 1. To whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus was seen on earth by men for 40 days. There was a whole bunch of witnesses in that time. They were infallible proofs. Verse number 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Notice they were commanded them. Don't leave Jerusalem until you get this promise. Until ye are baptized with the Holy Ghost. I tell you, the reason for the resurrection is right here. That we can partake in what Jesus gave to us. Here's my command. Do not leave until you know Jesus. Do not leave without partaking in this truth. Amen. Everybody needs to know who Jesus is. Amen. Everybody needs to know who Jesus is. They were told to go get ready to experience the reason Jesus came. The reason He rose is that we could have this new birth experience. That we could experience this great salvation plan that He provided to us. It is not intended for man to go to hell. It was created for Lucifer, for Satan and his angels. It is God's plan to save mankind. It is God. He has already made preparation. He's did everything He needs to do. He's given you His promise. He showed you in His Word. You can be saved. You do not have to live this life in sin. Praise the Lord. The first New Testament altar call was given in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. In fact, musicians, would you come? Acts chapter 2, verse 30. Let me back up. Verse 37. In fact, stand with me, would you? I'm closing. I'm going to read this little portion of Scripture. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 down to 40. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he did testify and exhort, saying, get this now, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Man, if I could do it, it's not a good idea and I'm not going to. But boy, if I could just get me about six big ushers. Follow me, fellas. You've been baptized in Jesus' name? Nice. All right, good. Man, if I could go around and ask each person, and then I find one that hadn't been baptized, get them, fellas, throw them in there. Head first, just dump. Get them all the way wet. You know, we laugh. But I can't force you to be baptized. It wouldn't do any good. It's something that you got to want to do. You got to save yourself.
Right.
I mean, you got to willingly want to have Jesus. Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to force his way into anyone's life. You got to want him, or you can hold him aside. You can keep Jesus out of your life if you want to. Amen. But Jesus is the best thing that has ever happened to me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And let me just add this little closing note. I had at the end of my notes here. Because he lives, excuse me, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know who holds the future, and life is worth a living just because he lives. The young people didn't know that that was in my notes, and I didn't know the young people were singing that song. Amen. But you know what? God is living right now. He's had his hand on this service from the very beginning. It's not a coincidence that you are here today. It's God's plan for you to live for him. He brought you here to hear this message. One more late breaking news announcement. This is our baptismal tank, and those heaters that we've been in there since yesterday. That water is nice and warm. It's ready for people to be baptized today. But next week, I plan to have that thing unplugged. And this one, ready to go. There's no water in there yet.
Right.
I don't think.
No.
No, it's dry. Next week, I plan on having water in that tank.
Amen.
But it's time to follow the Lord. You can do it today. We're ready right now. There's baptismal changing garments in the other room. You could be baptized. Take off your street clothes. Put on that baptismal robe and be baptized and start your path of living for God right now. Today, what a better day than Resurrection Sunday to remember who Jesus is. Amen. To be baptized in His name. To receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. There's people going to get... I'm reasonably certain that Brother Crowder is going to preach the Word of God in truth. And God is going to move and people are going to respond and people are going to be baptized and be filled with the Holy Ghost. But we don't have to wait till next week. Right now is the day.
Amen.
Amen. As we sing, when we close in worship, come on up to this front. Join me and love the Lord and worship God. Magnify Him. If you've been baptized, been filled with the Holy Ghost, just come on up and worship. If you want to be baptized, you can be baptized today. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost today. Come on, lift your hands. Let's magnify God together. Let's worship Him right now.